Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, I Didn't Sign Up for This, by Dr. Tracy Dolgleish, presents relationship work through the dual lens of a practicing couples therapist and a partner learning in real time. Built around real-life clinical scenarios and personal reflection, the book focuses on the moments couples do not anticipate, resentment that builds quietly, conflict that repeats like a script, disconnection after life transitions, and the fear that something is fundamentally wrong when love feels hard. Rather than offering a one-size-fits-all formula, Dolgleish emphasizes patterns, emotional triggers, and the small, practical shifts that change a relationship's trajectory. Readers can expect a grounded, compassionate approach that normalizes struggle while still holding people accountable for the impact of their choices. The central promise is not perfection or constant harmony, but the possibility of repair, greater emotional safety, and more joy. If you want therapy-informed guidance that feels human and relatable, this book aims to make relationship growth feel both doable and meaningful. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, seeing the pattern behind the fight. A core theme in therapy-informed relationship work is that couples rarely argue only about the surface issue. The recurring conflict about chores, money, parenting, or intimacy often acts as a doorway into deeper needs such as respect, security, autonomy, or feeling chosen. This book highlights how partners can learn to step back and identify the repeating cycle they co-create. That cycle may look like one person pursuing conversation while the other shuts down, or one partner criticizing while the other becomes defensive. When couples name the pattern, they stop treating each other as the enemy and start treating the cycle as the shared problem. The approach encourages readers to pay attention to triggers, timing, and escalation points. What happens right before the tone changes? What story does each person tell themselves in the heat of the moment? What protective strategy shows up, such as minimizing feelings, over-explaining, or stonewalling? By tracing these sequences, couples can spot how good intentions turn into predictable harm. Importantly, the book frames pattern awareness as empowering, not blaming. Once you can map the loop, you can interrupt it with simple moves, pausing, changing the agenda from winning to understanding, and making specific requests instead of global complaints. Over time, couples replace automatic reactions with deliberate choices that build safety and connection. Secondly, emotional safety, attachment needs, and repair. Many relationship problems persist because partners do not feel emotionally safe enough to be honest, vulnerable, or curious. The book emphasizes that closeness is built less by grand gestures and more by repeated experiences of responsiveness. That includes being taken seriously, having feelings acknowledged, and seeing effort when harm occurs. When emotional safety is low, even neutral comments can sound like attacks, and partners default to self-protection instead of connection. A therapy-centered perspective also brings attachment needs into focus. People vary in how they seek closeness, how they handle distance, and how they interpret conflict. One partner may experience silence as abandonment, while the other experiences intense discussion as threat. The book uses real-life stories to show how these differences can be understood without pathologizing either person. The goal is to build a shared language for what each partner needs during stress. Repair is a key skill here. Instead of waiting for conflict to disappear, couples learn to return to the moment, take responsibility for impact, and re-establish trust. Effective repair involves specificity, empathy, and behavioral change, not vague apologies. Small repairs done consistently can gradually rewrite a relationship narrative from "we always hurt each other" to "we know how to find our way back." Thirdly, communication that moves beyond advice and defensiveness. Couples often believe they have a communication problem, but what they really have is a listening problem shaped by assumptions and self-defense. The book highlights how easily conversations turn into debates, with partners collecting evidence, offering solutions too quickly, or focusing on being right. Advice can land as dismissal, and defensiveness can block empathy even when the speaker is trying to explain themselves. A more productive communication model prioritizes understanding before problem-solving. That means slowing down, reflecting back what was heard, and checking meaning rather than reacting to tone. It also means using clear, bounded language, describing a specific behavior, naming the feeling it created, and making a concrete request. This reduces the chance of global statements like "you never" or "you always," which tend to invite counterattacks. The book also underscores that conflict-style differences matter. Some people process internally and need time, while others need real-time dialogue to regulate emotion. Learning to negotiate these differences can prevent the typical spiral where one partner chases clarity and the other flees intensity. When couples build agreements about timing, breaks, and re-entry into hard conversations, they create a structure that protects both partners. Over time, communication becomes less about winning and more about building a shared reality where both people matter. Fourthly, boundaries, resentment, and the mental load. Resentment thrives when expectations are unclear and needs are repeatedly minimized. The book brings attention to how boundaries support love rather than threaten it. Many couples default to unspoken rules about who does what, who carries emotional labor, and who manages the invisible planning that keeps life running. When that mental load becomes lopsided, partners may feel taken for granted, while the other partner may feel perpetually criticized or confused about what is wanted. A practical theme is learning to replace indirect signals with direct agreements. Instead of hoping a partner notices, couples can name standards, define responsibilities, and revisit them as life changes. Boundaries also include limits around conflict, such as no name-calling, no contempt, and a commitment to revisit issues after a cooldown. These limits protect the relationship from damage that cannot be repaired by simple apologies. The book also explores how people avoid boundaries by overfunctioning, people-pleasing, or taking on too much to prevent conflict. Over time, that strategy often backfires and turns into bitterness. By practicing self-advocacy and shared accountability, couples can reduce resentment and increase partnership. When each person feels respected and supported, joy becomes more accessible because the relationship stops feeling like a constant negotiation for basic fairness. Lastly, reclaiming joy through small, repeatable changes, relationships can become problem-focused, especially when couples enter therapy or self-help during a crisis. This book highlights that lasting change is often built through small, repeatable behaviors rather than dramatic breakthroughs. Joy is not merely the absence of conflict, it is the presence of warmth, play, appreciation, and a sense of being on the same team. Couples can cultivate that through intentional rituals, brief daily check-ins, shared transitions after work, and moments of gratitude that feel specific and believable. The emphasis on breaking patterns also applies to joy. If a couple has a habit of discussing logistics only, adding a few minutes of emotional connection can shift the tone of the relationship. If partners are stuck in criticism, practicing noticing and naming what is working can reduce threat and increase openness. The book encourages readers to see these actions as relational investments that compound over time. Another important element is self-awareness. Each partner contributes to the atmosphere through stress management, assumptions, and coping strategies. Learning to regulate emotions, tolerate discomfort, and stay present during hard conversations makes joy more sustainable. Through relatable stories, the book shows that imperfect couples can still build meaningful connection. The aim is not a flawless relationship, but a resilient one where repair is normal and joy is something you practice, not something you wait for. In conclusion, this book is best suited for couples who feel stuck in repeating arguments, partners navigating major transitions such as parenting or career stress, and individuals who want to understand their role in relationship dynamics even if their partner is not ready to read along. It will also resonate with readers who appreciate therapy-informed guidance that is compassionate but not permissive, and who want practical ways to change how conflict unfolds. Its main benefit is helping readers shift from symptom-level problem-solving to pattern-level understanding. When you can identify your cycle, communicate with more clarity, and repair more effectively, daily life becomes less reactive. That can reduce anxiety at home, improve co-parenting, and create more emotional stability, which often spills into better focus and well-being outside the relationship. Compared with similar relationship books that lean heavily on theory or generic tips, this one stands out through its real-life storytelling and the author's willingness to include her own learning edge. That human angle makes concepts easier to recognize and apply, especially when you are tired, stressed, and not in the mood for idealized advice. If you want a grounded guide for breaking patterns and rebuilding joy, it is a worthwhile purchase that you can return to as your relationship evolves. If you would like to support Dr. Tracy Dalglish, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.